Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm one of the Daves here on staff at Two Rivers, if we've not met. As we jump on to the last week of this series, welcoming Amped Blend here at Harrison Lane and Roan County. Bearden, good morning to you guys as well. Hey, grab your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be, 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we continue this week, final week of this series called Life-Giving Rhythms. And as we get started, here's my true confession. I needed this series. I needed to be reminded of these life-giving rhythms of what it looks like for us to be followers of Jesus, to engage in following Christ in an active kind of way, to put down deep roots. And so I may encourage you today that if you missed a week in this series, go back. Like, every series is important that you would go week to week. I don't know if you realize that. Every principle builds upon the previous principle. As we package things together in series, it's always important that you would link things together and not take things in isolation. But this series especially, if you missed a week, go back. We've been talking about some really ancient practices that are still life-giving to this day. This series has been all about developing depth, putting down deeper roots, that we would be a people that are closer to Jesus at the end of this year than we were at the beginning, that we're following Jesus harder at the end of this year than we were at the beginning. And investing in our relationship with Jesus by establishing spiritual rhythms by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about in the very first week of this series that it was about growing. It was about being a people who grow. Because guess what? Pretty much the whole New Testament is about growing. It's written primarily to people who are already followers of Jesus, and Paul writes a lot about being people who would grow up, that we would be grown-ups in Christ, that we would be people, no matter where we are in chronological age in this world, that in our spiritual age, there's always a next place to go. There's always a next step. We may be 75 years old, and yet in the faith, we never progressed in our spiritual age past the age of 14. And that's not the picture that we see in the scriptures. It's this call that we would be a people who grow, that we grow up. And one of the ways that we do that is we allow the Spirit of God to shape who we are. And so this principle is really important. We can engage in spiritual practices that aren't life-giving. They can just be spiritual practices. In fact, they could actually be life-taking. If it's done out of guilt and obligation, the very thing that could give us life can actually rob life from us. It's important that we remember that it's the Holy Spirit that gives life to these spiritual rhythms. The Holy Spirit gives life to spiritual rhythms. It's about allowing the Spirit of God to use these practices to shape us, to mold us, to be a people who are following Jesus. The spiritual rhythms we've been talking about in this series are also called spiritual disciplines. I don't like the word discipline. I'm just straight up. I don't like that word, right? Who likes discipline? I don't like discipline. I like practices. I like those. I like rhythms. That's a better word. Some of you be like, I'm old school. I like disciplines. Go with that, all right? There's a few guys wrote a book called Transformational Discipleship, and here's what they say about these spiritual practices. The disciplines are activities that give time and space for the Spirit to give understanding about the truth presented in the Bible. When believers engage in spiritual activities, the Spirit can speak and move in our hearts. The disciplines give a place of structure for transformational growth to occur. The goal of all these spiritual rhythms, transformational growth, It's just putting structure. It's just putting a place and creating a space for the Spirit to work and move in our lives based upon creating that space in order that we would be a people who are transformed by God Himself. It's always about transformational growth. And so this weekend, if you walk away with one thing, this is the one thing to walk away with, the life-giving rhythm of engaging Scripture is transformational. I want to talk about the difference between engaging Scripture and just reading the Bible. Because we all know, like, well, yeah, I ought to read the Bible. I really should pray. Those are things that I ought and should to do. I know I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to read the Bible. And so I may just be checking the boxes as I go through my day because I needed to read the Bible. And so I did that. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about engaging the Scripture. So what is that? It's spending considerable time with. It's dealing with Scripture at length. It's active involvement with Scripture. And some of you actually just go immediately to, well, that's Bible study. Yes, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about, but it is far more than that. In fact, study in and of itself can actually be one of those life-taking things that we talked about earlier. It could actually rob us if it's not done within the proper structure of allowing the Spirit to transform who we are. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and as we pick up here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's important that we understand the context that Paul's writing to this young pastor by the name of Timothy. He's writing to him from prison, first of all. He's in prison, and he's looking towards his final days. He's not coming out, okay? He's not being liberated from prison. He's going to die. This is going to happen, and he sees it on the horizon. But in the meantime, he has this young protege by the name of Tim, and he writes him a letter. And in it, okay, earlier in chapter 3, what he's writing about is, hey, here's what's going to happen. The world's going to lose its mind. People aren't going to want to know what's true. The world's going to lose its mind. You're going to see everything that's going on in the world, and people are going to be rejecting God, pursuing their own way. It's going to happen. The world's going to go crazy. Guess what's always been true about the world? It's always been going crazy. The world has always been actively opposed to God. And guess what? The days in which we live are not the craziest days in history. Don't buy into that. Do some research, look back in history. There's crazier days that have happened. Okay, so don't buy into that. I'm not saying that they're not crazy days in which we live. They are crazy days in which we live. No doubt about that. But that has always gone on. It's always been true. The people of God have lived through some really amazingly difficult times. And so now he draws a contrast to that. The world's gonna go crazy, Tim, but here's what I want you to do. Here's what he says to him. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Not a one-time event. Like, this has been my story. Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. hey, Timothy, the world's going crazy, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on what you've seen me live out. I want you to focus on the life of faith that I've lived. And I also want you to remember what you've been taught in the scriptures and the fact that God has spoken in the scriptures. God speaks through scripture. The way that we know who God is that he has revealed himself through the scriptures. What we have in the Bible today is the very words of God. When we say that it's God's word, what we're talking about is God has and is speaking. God has spoken and is speaking. It is the very words of scripture that God has breathed. When Paul talks about that all scripture is breathed out by God, he's using the same thing that the Bible tells us about God and creation. The very words of scripture have been created by God himself. And what we believe about the Bible is this, that the words that we have aren't just kind of the words that we're supposed to have. We believe that the words we have in scripture are the very words that God intended for us to have. And that causes people sometimes to have questions. Like, well, wait a minute. As I read through the scriptures, first of all, what's the Bible? It's a collection of books. It's not a book, right? It's 66 different books written over a 1,500-year time frame with more than 40 different authors. And so as we read through scripture, it can cause questions in our mind because it reads differently as we go through scripture. In the New Testament, different authors use different vocabulary. So if it's all authored by God, why isn't it just one voice from beginning to end? Okay, and this is theory. This isn't fact, this is theory. But here's something that I do know is true. That is, God speaks our language. When we're listening to the voice of God, the still small voice of God, he's not expecting us to learn another language. That's why people often confuse God's voice for their own voice, that think God doesn't speak to them because they don't hear it audibly out there. They just have this thing that wells up within. It's the Spirit of God communicating to us in that still small voice. That same voice worked through human authors to inspire and write the words of Scripture. In other words, that the Spirit just didn't give these human authors the thoughts to think. He gave them the very words to use. But guess what he did? He used their vocabulary. He used their voice. He used them in the process. That's how the Spirit of God still works today, even though he's no longer writing scripture, right? We are a people who believe the canon is closed, right? And the way that we believe that God speaks the clearest is through scripture. Scripture is the primary way that God communicates to us today, okay? When I say primary, I'm not saying exclusive, okay? Not exclusive, but is the primary way. And so we have scripture, God speaking through scripture, and that's the only way that we know that we know that we know God has spoken. Without a doubt, right? Without a doubt, if it's in scripture, we know that God has said. If it's the still small voice within, then it's I think. When it comes to scripture, we can say, I know that I know. When it comes to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and hearing God in real time, that's always I think. These two things are like this, okay? They're not co-equal. It's important that we remember that. They're not co-equal. They are not the same. Scripture is how we know that God is communicating to us. Peter was definitely on board that the words of scripture are from God. As we look at the prophets, we have these book we call the prophets. And Peter wanted people to know this. He said, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The prophets. Almost the majority, okay, of what they wrote was all about calling God's people back into relationship. When we hear that word prophecy, the thing that we go to is like foretelling the future, tell us what's going to come in the future. In fact, like the most popular thing people want to know right now is revelation. Is it happening right now? Is it going down? Is today the day? When's Jesus coming back? Tell me, what does it mean? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But what we're going to focus on, Two Rivers, what we're going to focus on is following Jesus faithfully. We're never going to be wrong with that. We're never going to be wrong. Being prepared for Jesus to come back, following him faithfully and doing what he says. Never going to be wrong with that. And because the Holy Spirit has inspired the very words of Scripture, the only way to rightly understand the words of Scripture is through the same Spirit. It's called illumination. The only way we can understand the Bible is through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And that means as we approach the Scriptures, it's always prayerfully, it's always humbly coming and saying, I don't know, God, show me. God, what are you saying here? What did you mean here? Even the things that we think we know, putting them on the table and saying, God, I may be wrong. Show me what is right. To rightly understand the Bible, we need the Spirit to guide us. It's the only way. Paul writes about the need for the Spirit of God to guide us in understanding spiritual things. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth where he said this, that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. At the heart of who we are as a church, we desire to be people who build our lives wholly upon the Word of God as the Spirit of God breathes life into it. That's who we desire to be. To people who depend, right? Like we are building upon the foundation of Scripture that the Spirit breathes life into, that the Spirit helps us understand and apply to our lives. Now, in our text here, as Paul writes to Timothy, we see, first of all, that engaging Scripture first leads to new life. That's the first step. As we engage Scripture, it first leads to new life. He wrote this to him. He says, but as for you, Timothy, do this different. Continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, and the people there, the whom is plural, who you learned it from, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for what? For salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When he's talking about these sacred writings, the ones that he's had from childhood, he's talking about what? He's talking about the Old Testament. Do you know that the Old Testament that you have in your Bible, the books are ordered differently, okay? In the Hebrew Bible, they put them in a different order. They categorize them a little bit different than in the Christian Bible. But the Old Testament that you have is the same Old Testament, the same group of scriptures that were considered scriptures in the days in which Jesus lived. You have the same Old Testament. So as Paul is writing here to Timothy about the scriptures and how, hey, they're able to make you wise. He's talking about the Old Testament. It's able to lead you to Jesus. Everything that's written in the Old Testament points us towards Jesus. And often what we do is we just think that's the irrelevant part of the book. That's the old story. I'm gonna get to the new, better part. Give me the new, better part. But in fact, it's what points us to Christ. It points us to the new life that we can have. It points us to the deficiency in our effort of trying to be good moral people and that we're actually dead in sin and we need to be made new, to be created new in Christ. It points us to the hope that we have in Christ. And that's the first thing the scriptures do. You may have heard of a group of people called the Gideons. The Gideons, and you may have encountered them in a hotel room as you've opened a drawer and you found a Bible there, and you're like, why? Why would they invest in putting a Bible here? The Gideons are Bible people. They believe in the scriptures and getting the scriptures in the hands of people. Why? Because they believe in the power of the Word of God. And the reason that they put the scriptures there in that hotel room is why? So that at a deep, dark night of the soul, when somebody's looking for truth, they might open the scriptures and they might read and say, oh my goodness, I need hope. I need a future. I need Christ. And they would humble themselves before God and that they would be made new in Christ. And they have stories of that, right? People who just through the scriptures, there's multiple stories. I don't know anybody personally, but some of you in this room, you may be saying, yeah, I came to Jesus just through scripture alone. It wasn't because what somebody said to me, it was simply I discovered my need for Christ in the scriptures. It showed me my need. I came to Jesus simply because of the power of the word of God. It's that profound, it's that powerful. Most of us, however, we need someone. We need someone to share their experience along with the truth of scripture to help us understand our need for new life. But they're that profound and that powerful. So after we have new life, there comes a second part, and here's the second part. Engaging scripture then leads to growth. That's the second part. Paul wrote this. He said that the scriptures are what? They're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the people of God, the men and women who are followers of Christ, might have everything that they need to do what? To live out the purposes that God has for them. And when he talks about to equipped for every good work, it's the same thing that Paul writes about in Ephesians and in his letter to Titus, that we would be a people who are zealous to walk in the steps that God has prepared for us. And the way that we can walk in those steps are that we are a people who are equipped through the power of the Holy Spirit in understanding the scriptures. That's how it happens. That we would be a people transformed by the scriptures. Now, what we often do is this, we get this backwards. We think that step two is the most important step. As we look at our culture, we look at step two and think, as we look at culture and we can see everything wrong and out of alignment and morally incorrect and how the world has embraced, this is just true, the world has embraced immorality as morality. The world has embraced immoral conduct and called it good. That's just true, okay? That's true. That has happened. That has happened forever. That's happened forever. The world has always done that. Why? Because they're broken by sin. We are broken by sin. Humanity is broken by sin, and we will always find a way to do what's right in our own eyes. And so as we look at culture and we try and use scripture to legislate what's right in culture, we will always fail. I believe that's true. Now you're getting into my belief. We will always fail. Why? They don't recognize the authority, sufficiency of scripture. And so you can say the Bible says and the world says what? I don't care. It also says, and they'll go to the Old Testament and they'll take a bunch of stuff out of context and they'll say it says this and it says this and it says this and it says this because they're not using scripture properly. They're not using it in understanding who God is. They're using it in the way that we're trying to use it against them, which is a weapon. Now it is a weapon, okay? The word of God is the sword, okay? It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, no doubt about it. But what does that do? It divides our heart. It pierces us. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And if we've been followers of Jesus for a while, we know that scripture, likely in and out, but we've probably taken it out of context. The context there in Hebrews is that we would be a people who draw near to God, that we would find our rest in God, that we would be a people who stop keeping God at a distance and we allow him to be our rest. In other words, that we would be a people who just come before God transparently recognizing that our works are dead. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can hide from him. We simply can find our rest, our peace in him if we come before him transparently. And then the author of Hebrews says, hey, guess what? He knows it anyway. The living word of God is going to go to your heart and pierce you. It's going to go in. It's going to find the stuff that's jacked up in you, and it's going to reveal it. That's going to happen. And what we do is we try and take that and say, everything that's wrong in the world, it isn't in alignment with scripture. Guess what? That's true. And the only way it will ever be in alignment with Scripture is if people first discover the gospel and discover Jesus, and he transforms them. That's the only way it's ever going to work. And guess what? That's the only way it was ever going to work. We're going to go back into John's gospel and starting next week. Okay, we're going to go back in and we're going to finish John's gospel. And all Two Rivers Church said, yeah, all right, let's get it done. Yeah, all right, we're going to get it done. But in John's gospel, we're going to see in this next series, if Jesus wanted to transform the political system, he would have done it. And he absolutely rejects that. I'm not about that. My kingdom is different from that. Political systems are gonna come, political systems are gonna go. That isn't what this is about. When Pilate says, hey, are you the king of the Jews? You say so. Well, are you? I don't know. That's not what I'm about. I'm about establishing the kingdom of God. I'm about giving people new life. I'm about calling people to God himself and that God would be able to radically transform who they are. Guess what? That's still the Jesus program. The Jesus program is still about being a people who are transformed by his presence. Now, I'm a fan of Francis Chan. You heard that guy, Francis Chan? And the reason I'm a fan is because he challenges me. He challenges me. As he speaks, it gets all up in my head. And I'm like, wow, I'm out of alignment. But here's what he writes in a book called Multiply, which I recommend that book. It's about following Jesus. And in that book, he writes this. If you ever find yourself reading your Bible and not changing, then you can be sure that you're approaching the Bible in the wrong way. It's not about finding support for our lifestyle or way of thinking. It's about approaching the mind of God and letting him change and redefine who we are. That's the power of Scripture. As we engage in Scripture, we create the space for the Spirit of God to change how we think, to change who we are, that our lives would become in alignment with truth. I say it this way. If you find yourself looking for a verse to support your opinion, you're approaching Scripture backward. If you ever need to say, hey, what's that verse that says, right? That's wrong. I know there's a verse. I know that it's there. Okay, now I'm not saying that we shouldn't understand right and wrong and we should be good moral people and absolutely, but if I'm, okay, especially on social media, using the Bible to argue an argument about, and if I could just get a verse, you see what you're doing is wrong. Absolutely, it's wrong. No doubt about it, it's wrong. According to Scripture, it's wrong. Guess what? They don't care. They don't acknowledge what the Bible is. So how in the world are they ever going to embrace it? It's only through the power of God showing them the truth through Scripture and them receiving new life in Christ. And so instead, what if it's we're actually taking the word of God and we're applying it to our lives in order that we'd transform who we are? And so what we're going to talk about are some rhythms. We're going to get really practical here. I'm going to cover them really quick. And there's more than this, okay? There's more than the four that we're going to cover, and the four is really six. But I took three of them and combined them together because I can't divide them in my mind, okay? The first three that are really one in my mind are this, okay? It's devotional reading, prayer, and meditation upon Scripture, okay? It's important that when I use that word meditation, that you understand that I'm not talking about some spiritual practice from the from, you know, New Ageism that we would just try and empty our minds and be void in our thinking. That is not, I want to be clear, not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is putting Scripture in our minds and dwelling upon that. Putting Scripture in our minds and dwelling upon the truth. When we talk about devotional reading, prayer, and meditation, what we're talking about is this interactive relationship with God that Mark talked about in week 2, this conversational relationship with God himself. When we talk about devotional reading, prayer, and meditation as a rhythm, what we're talking about is reading the Scriptures in relationship. We're talking about reading Scriptures in an interactive kind of way. That we know that God speaks to us through the scriptures, and that as we're in the scriptures, not looking for more information, we're looking to meet God there. And so this is different from study. We'll talk about study in a second. What we're talking about is reading the scriptures and asking God questions along the way, like, God, what do you want me to know about you? As we read the scriptures, we're reading it relationally, and maybe we're reading the Bible in a systematic kind of way. We're reading. I do not recommend just opening the Bible and just randomly reading. Okay, that may just, okay, just never was a thing for me. It doesn't work for me. It's random. I'm not really random. Not saying God doesn't speak through it, but in general, what I discover is like reading through scripture in a systematic way, relationally, God speaks over time. God's communicating to us over time. And he will show us, like, this is what I want you to know about me. You may say, God, what are you teaching me? What are you trying to teach me? God, what do you want me to see in this passage? I had an experience, it's a while ago, actually now. And I was reading through, at that time in my life, I was reading through the Bible every 6 months because I was incredibly legalistic and I don't recommend it, okay? Here's what I was doing, right? I was leading a church and I was saying, hey, this year, read through the scriptures in a year, read the whole Bible in a year. And I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna ask people to read through the Bible in a year, I definitely, as a leader, should read through the Bible every 6 months. And so I'm gonna do that. And it ended up forming a really legalistic habit in my world. For a while, though, it was life-giving, because I was reading scripture in a devotional kind of way. And when it became life-taking, it's when I lost the relationship and turned it into checking a box. Well, did I read so much scripture today? Yep, did that, on to the next thing. But I remember reading through scripture, and I was in the book of Exodus. I've shared this story before. And as I was reading through the book of Exodus, you come to Exodus 14:14, where God's saying to Moses, hey, you know what, you only need to be silent, okay? I'm gonna fight for you, you don't need to talk. I'm gonna do it. And in that moment, I was reading through there and I hit that verse, and here's the thought that went through my mind. David, you are not the defender of you. And I was like, whoa, right? Not really. I was like, what? Why would I think that? What was that about? You are not your defender. And then over time, what I had to do is go, okay, is that my voice, the voice of God? What does that look like? Whatever. And God connected me to that scripture. And I went through a season that still continues to this day of learning, I don't have to defend me. I don't have to do that. When I defend me, okay, and I'm always relearning this, right? When I defend me, then that ends up coming out all wrong. And so God might do that for you, okay? While we remember that all of Scripture is written for us, we come to a passage like here in 2 Timothy. It's important we remember this is a letter to a real guy in time, place, okay? This is a letter written from an individual to an individual. This letter was not written to you, but it definitely was written for you. And so what we do is we pull principles into our life as we look at the scripture, as it's written for us, all scripture is for us, and we say, hey, this principle that we see in the scripture, how do I apply it into my life? What is God trying to teach me here? And so a really practical, important discipline is study. As we look to the scriptures, as we look to say, what does this say and how does it apply to me? And so I lost some of you right there because you're like, oh my goodness. Of all the things that I could do, one of the things don't you know I come to church on the weekend so I don't have to study? Don't you do that for me? We'll talk about that at the last one. Kind of-ish. But as we discover more, it's a way that we know more about God. As we understand the scriptures more fully, we understand more of who God is. And it's important, however, that we do that within context of relationship and with the goal being application, okay? We need to make sure that we contrast the application of Scripture versus more information. The goal is not more information when it comes to study. Sometimes people think depth is that I'd get up here or we'd get up here as a teaching team and we'd be like, oh, the Greek says this and the Hebrew says that. And people are like, oh, that's deep. Guess what? That's not deep. That's information. Depth is taking the Word of God and putting it into your life. That's depth. Depth is the application of truth. That's depth. Now, in order to develop information to build upon, we study the Scriptures. And there's value in original language study. It's important, okay? I'm so glad that I went to school to learn that. It's a tool I use every week in my life. I'm glad I have it. But it's not the goal. The goal is that we would be a people who are transformed by God. The third one is this, it's memorization. I'm gonna tell you, this one's a struggle for me, straight up, hard. You may find yourself in that same place. I would say this, I can memorize Scripture-ish. It's kind of like this. This is what it says. But that's not an excuse for me not to do it. As we put in the Word of God, we end up giving the Holy Spirit room and space to work. We give the Holy Spirit more material. If you were a part of Quiet Waters, you listened into our workshop that we had in the afternoon. It was Tim Bubar who made this point, that the Scripture memorization, it builds a foundation. I doubled down on that. I was like, absolutely. The more that we put Scripture in, the more Scripture that the Spirit of God can bring to mind in any given moment in life. And so memorization has always been part of God's people. It used to be when you had to go to the temple or a synagogue and heard the Scriptures read to you, the only way that you had it in your daily life was in here. This is it. That's all you had. You didn't have your own personal copy of the scrolls. You didn't, that wasn't a thing. Okay, they were something that you heard read or you went to school and you learned and you memorized, but the only place that the Word of God was in here. Now it's like I can find it everywhere. The Hebrew people loved the Scriptures, and Psalm 119 is a perfect example of that. It's a song that's all about their love of the Scriptures. In it, the author says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it. I long to have it. Why? That I could walk with you, that I could be in relationship with you. The way that I know that I know that I know you is through the Scriptures. Finally, we have teaching and discussion. These two go together. Teaching and discussion it's about putting yourself in a place where you do, maybe you listen to podcasts, there's maybe some online stuff you listen to, maybe there's books that you read, maybe, you know, you come to church on a weekend and we do teaching time. Why? Because it's important that we would understand the Scriptures and apply it to our lives. And that we would interact around that we would have discussion about that we would say, oh, wow, I didn't see it from that perspective, or I didn't understand it that way. That we would take the Scriptures and we would say they mean what they mean, okay? I'm gonna leave you this, nobody else has gotten it, they didn't get this last night. If you could drop one phrase from your life, this is the one you wanna drop, okay? This is what this passage, this Scripture, this verse means to me, okay? That's bad Bible, okay? Bad Bible, don't do that. Because the Scriptures mean what they mean, but they apply to you maybe differently. And so what you can say, instead of this is what it means to me, you can say this is how it applies to me. It means what it means, but then what? It applies to me. I have different life circumstances than you have. And it doesn't mean that I just mold and twist it. It's just, okay, well, this week for me, it looks like this. And this week for me, it looks like that. And maybe a little bit different for you. And this is why we do what? Next steps. It's all about application. It's all about putting it into our lives. The life-giving rhythm of engaging Scripture is transformational if I actually engage in it. And so here are the next steps for this week, okay? First off, review this series. Go back. Over a span of time, remind yourself about these life-giving rhythms. I've been so grateful to learn some stuff about the way. Like I have some stuff that I do in my life. I have an eating pattern that I follow. It's called fasting, but it's not fasting for a spiritual purpose. It's fasting for an entirely different reason. And so what's it look like for me to put fasting in my life that's actually for a spiritual purpose and not for vanity? What's that about? Engaging scripture this week by going to John 18. And the reason John 18 is where I'm inviting you to go is why? Because that's where we're going next week. Back to John's gospel. We're going to the finale. As we're going through the end of John's gospel, well, come prepared. Ask God a question along the way. God, what do you want me to see in this passage? Read the scriptures. Ask a question. Read John 18. Maybe you read it a few times. Maybe you read it once. It's not long. We're not going to cover the whole chapter. But you're putting down foundation. You're engaging scripture. You're giving the Spirit room to work in your life. And then the final one is this. Engage the scriptures in a new way this week. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do here in a moment. I'm going to ask you. We're going to be still. We believe that the Spirit of God is going to speak to us in real time. And he's going to say, hey, this is what I have for you. Maybe it's an old way. Maybe it's a new way. But what's it look like for you to engage the scriptures this week? Not on a surface level, but allowing the Spirit of God to speak into your world. I'm going to pray in a second, but I've told this story before, but it was like a long time ago now. This Bible, I used to carry it with me to work every day. And there's nothing special about it, okay? A Bible is just a book, okay? There's nothing holy per se about this book. It's only valuable, I just got in some of your head. It's only valuable when what? When it's open and read, when it's ingested, when the words become real and alive. That's what gives it power. Otherwise, it's just something printed on a printing press. So there's nothing special of this particular scripture, except God used it in a profound way in my life. This is the one that I would carry with me to work, and I remember, I don't have a ton of experiences that I can remember vividly, but I remember this. I remember being at my desk, and I remember reading this. And it's not all marked up. That was just beginning in my life that I was actually like, okay, writing in the Bible and underlining stuff and highlighting stuff. But the book of Philippians is. And I remember one day reading this. In chapter 3. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And I remember that scripture went to my heart and I was like, God, I want that. That's what I want. That time I was chasing all the wrong stuff. And the word of God went right into my heart, into my mind, and it changed the trajectory of my life. So as I get up here and I'm passionate, like this will change your life. What? It will change your life. It'll change the trajectory of your life as you allow the word of God to enter in, to reshape how you think, to reshape where you put your priorities, to reshape the things you do. As I pray, I'm just going to ask you to ask God that the thing that he's calling you to this week, to engage the scriptures, I believe that he'll give it to you. And so I want you not to put him at arm's length. Don't put him out there and say, stay back there, stay away. Allow him to come in and to show you what that looks like for you this week. Father, we're grateful that you are not silent. You are the God who speaks. And in this moment, Would you show us what it looks like for us to engage you through the power of your Spirit in the scriptures this week? We ask in Jesus' name.